So we're continuing this morning with our sermon series, Exploring the Kingdom of God, wrestling with questions like, you know, what is the Kingdom of God? Where is it? When is it? What's it like? Because there's a lot of talk about the Kingdom of God or the Kingdom of Heaven, which are used interchangeably in the Gospels. John the Baptist announced that the Kingdom of Heaven is near when he was preparing the way for Jesus. And Jesus himself taught, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. And he taught people about this kingdom by telling parables about it, giving people glimpses about what this kingdom is and helping them to discover more through engaging with stories. Because the kingdom of God is not something which is easy to define. There's a lot you can say about it, but it kind of defies any sort of simple definitions. So we had one of those parables read out just now, the parable of the weeds. But actually, this parable takes place as part of a whole string of parables, which all start the kingdom of heaven is like. I don't know if you want to have it. There are Bibles in the pews if you want to take a look. It's on page 979 if you want to have it in front of you and have a look. So it talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed some seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's like treasure. It's like a net. So each story has something to tell us about the kingdom, but no one story can sum it all up. So it's like putting together pieces of a puzzle. We discover things within each story which help us to build a picture of what this incredible kingdom is, while never being able to claim that we've got it completely covered. So over the last few weeks, we looked at the kingdom as something which is all around and which is growing. And if you were here when Bridget spoke, you'll remember that she encouraged us all to get on our wellies and to get involved in this growing kingdom. Last week, Cherry spoke about the internal struggles of the kingdom as we wrestle with trying and sometimes failing to do the right thing. And she introduced us to this lovely concept, I thought, about looking for kingdom moments, looking to try and notice in your life for those little experiences that feel like God's new life breaking through. Where are those kingdom moments? And this week, we are looking at a big picture parable, the big picture of the kingdom of God. So this parable kind of zooms us out and shows us something of the overarching narrative of God's kingdom. So it's a story which invites us to wrestle with notions of good and evil, with that stark reality of the tangled mess of the existence of both in the world, and points to the promise and the warning that in the end there will be a time when evil is rooted out and destroyed, and the kingdom of God will be all that it should be. And this is a tale of truly epic proportions. It's kind of set in this sort of simple field with a man sowing good seed who is, of course, played by Morgan Freeman, because he always plays characters like that. And then we have this enemy who comes in, which in my head is played by Tim Curry. That's how I imagine it. And I make that point to help us understand that this is story. This is Jesus opening our eyes to important truths about the kingdom through the medium of story. The kingdom of God is not actually a field, a collection of seeds. It isn't a mustard seed or a net. And yet, there is something important that we can learn if we are willing to enter the story. And one of the reasons I emphasize this is because parables like this can often be read in a way which attempts to kind of pin down truths, and you end up with a bit of a blunt instrument reading, which is actually quite unhelpful. So we could look at this parable and the extra clues that Jesus gives about how to understand the parable, and we could take from it that there are two types of people in the world. There are good people, and there are evil people. And in the end, the evil people will be destroyed, and the good people will be in the kingdom. Yay! Wait, what? I think that's like the Disney version of this parable. I'm not sure about your experience of the world, but in my experience, things are far more complicated than a simple tale of good people and bad people. Someone once said to me that the line between good and evil runs through the center of every human heart. You know, the line between good and evil runs through the center of every human heart. And this is what scripture often shows us. We see it in the psalm that we read. Out of the depths I cry to you. If you, O Lord, could keep a record of sins, who could stand? Who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. So we all fall short. We all make mistakes. And so to imagine it's as simple as good or evil is to leave the story as a caricature and not reach the truths that it's pointing to. So we need to be wary of an overly straightforward and simplistic reading. There are apocalyptic themes. There are those overtones here. There is judgment and a rooting out of everything that causes sin and all who do evil. But we need to be careful where we take this to, what we assume this to mean. So what are we supposed to draw from this parable about God's kingdom? What are the truths? Well, to be honest, we could spend all day discussing this. And so this sermon really is only going to scratch the surface. So can I encourage you to go away and have a look again and enter that story and go, okay, what does this mean? How do we look at this? But I'm just going to briefly look at three aspects of the story, the kind of big picture aspects. So firstly, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. So here we have echoes of the creation narrative. Something good was made, but it was spoilt. The good was still there, but the bad was in and amongst it. And this speaks of the reality of both good and evil existing in the world together. What was intended to be good was poisoned by something that was working against the Creator, an enemy who sought to destroy. Now, one of the most important and difficult questions that we are often faced with is, why is there suffering in the world? How can there be a good God if we look around and there is so much pain and so much injustice? And I would suggest that there is no good answer to that question. There is no answer that will satisfy. And interestingly, the scriptures doesn't give us an answer to the problem or tell us why. But the parable teaches that this is the reality of the world. That something that was made for good was corrupted. An enemy came in the night and sowed weeds among the seed. Now, it doesn't attempt to answer why. There's no motivation given or a reason. That's just the way it is. Something was working against the goodness of God. So the reality of the kingdom of God is that it's currently a mixed bag. It is imperfect, with wheat and weeds growing together. So that was my first thing that I wanted to look at. Second, the servants asked if they should pull up the weeds, and the man said, no, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. So for the time being, we are stuck with an imperfect kingdom. Patience is needed. The plants have to grow until the time when the wheat is ready to be collected. At the present time, the wheat and the weeds are so intertwined in their roots that to attempt to get rid of the weeds risks damaging the wheat. Now, this doesn't mean that we do nothing about the kingdom. Remember, this parable sits along other kingdom parables and the message of John the Baptist and Jesus to repent, the kingdom of God has come near. So there's definitely stuff to be doing, but that we need to accept and recognize that though we long for and work for good to flourish, and there's plenty in the Bible to encourage us to be getting on with that, for now the reality is the kingdom will remain imperfect. And finally, at the time of the harvest, at the end of the age, they said, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn, says the sower of the field. So there is a promise. There will be a time when the fully grown wheat can be harvested and the weeds destroyed. Though we can be angry that there is evil in the world and frustrated that however much we try, we cannot rid the world of evil, there will be a time when evil is eradicated and the kingdom of God can be all that it was meant to be. Everything which causes sin, and those who do evil are destroyed, and the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, says Jesus. As I said, there are apocalyptic overtones and themes of judgment, but we need to be careful of the conclusions we draw from them. We need to remember that complex reality of the nature of the human condition, and that we are all imperfect, and our inclusion in the kingdom of God and that harvest is only ever by the grace of God. So for now, we live in the tangle of wheat and weeds. In fact, the tangle probably takes place within each of our hearts. So I think there's a lot more which could be said about this parable, but I'm going to leave that one with you. Read the story when you get home. Enter into the story. Wrestle with it. Ask questions of it. This morning, we've engaged with that kind of big picture parable, that overarching narrative, which tells us about the kingdom of God in terms of creation, which was good, the messy reality of a world where good and bad grow up together, and the promise of a future where evil will be rooted out, and the kingdom can finally be as it is intended to be. But for now, we're in the middle of the story, and we must wait. There's plenty to be done while we wait. But wait, we must. And so to finish, I'm going to read out that psalm that we had, Psalm 130, which is a psalm all about that difficulty of waiting. So can I encourage you, if you'd like to close your eyes and to reflect on these words, use them as a prayer of your own heart, have a listen and recognize that these are hard times and we do need to have patience, but God is good. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is unfailing love. With him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.